Chapter 11, Your Suit of Well-Being. Washington is a state with a lot of trees, to put it mildly. When folks would come over who had never been to my place, without fail, their first comments were always about how wonderful the place felt and how exceptional the trees were. I had giants on my property that were unlike anything for miles around, with fascinating clumps of mixed species growing out of the same trunk. But my special, special friends were a bunch of little guys just outside my fence, next to the road. I loved them. I don't know why, really. Maybe it was their spunk, their steadfast determination to grow almost sideways out of the raised earth, or to survive in the poorest of soil conditions. Now, while I may have been following a spiritual path in those early years in Washington, I was a long way from having my valve open. I was constantly focused on my lack of money, tipping the scales considerably more to negative vibrations than positive, and creating an open invitation to some form of disaster. Then one day, one memorable summer's day I shall never forget, I heard the sounds of heavy equipment outside, and I looked out my window to see a huge city weed cutter hacking down my street trees. Now, I came unglued and dashed screaming into the street, but it was too late. The last of the beautiful trees I had watched grow from babies to 6 feet or more had just fallen. I don't ever remember howling in such anguish. They had just taken my beloved family, and I was devastated. Over the next couple of summers, more yearlings caught on and grew, and when those trees grew to be 5 and 6 footers, I knew we were getting close to chop-down time again. But now I was into the law of attraction and keeping an open valve to the best of my ability. There was very little fear in my world, no apprehension over safety, and a newfound love and appreciation for the wet and gooey cold Washington weather. Sure enough, one summer's day, I heard the heavy equipment truck again and went outside. There was no panic in me. I just went outside. The cutters had just finished slashing down a long row of my neighbor's roadside trees. Then they swerved out around mine to pass them by, and started swacking at the property next door. I flagged down the driver and asked why he had skipped over my trees. "Oh, I don't know, lady. They just seemed so pretty there. I thought you might want to keep them. You want me to take them down?" See, our expanded selves vibrates in a frequency we would call, if we could feel it, pure, unadulterated ecstasy. Oh, must be nice. Now, since happiness and well-being are synonymous, that means that there's a part of us, the biggest part, that knows nothing but unconditional, timeless well-being. For if you have one, meaning high-frequency joy, by the laws of physics, you got to have the other, meaning well-being. So here it is. When we're vibrating positively and feeling good or buzzing or appreciating, when we're plugged in, focused only on the joys of our wants rather than the frustrations of our don't wants, when we're in a state of being that ranges anywhere from contentment to euphoria, when our valve is open and we are allowing our primary energy to flood through us, there is not one blessed thing in this whole wide world that can harm us. Why? Because the only thing that greater part of us knows is inexplicable joy and power and chutzpah and frivolity and infinite security, because infinite well-being is what it is. And that is what we, as its physical extension, really are. Pure, unending well-being. All we have to do is give ourselves a chance to let it be so. Now, if I seem to be laboring the point, you are right. Because, listen, we're talking the good life here. When we're plugged into that high-frequency energy, when we're out of fear-based and into happy-based, where we're not spewing out negative emotions of worry or bitterness or doubt and guilt, we've automatically plugged into the good life of well-being where nothing can ever harm us physically. Nothing. Not the local mugger, not the drunken dork on the freeway, not even Mother Nature. Going to be in an earthquake? Okay, sure, you might sustain damage to your home if there's been only a slight tilting of your scales toward the positive, but you'll be safe. Big robbery in the home, big sickness, big tornado destruction, big closed valve. And please, closed valve does not mean nasty or mean. Just because someone was killed in a hurricane or bomb blast in no way implies that they were anything but warm, lovely people, perhaps. It simply means they had unconsciously enveloped themselves in all the negative vibrations of mass consciousness that cause one's life to be so tough. But when our valve is open and our vibrational scales are tilted even a hair more to the positive than to the negative, we literally place on ourselves a suit of divine armor. When your valve is open, when you make a decision to be in joy with life no matter what, you automatically step into a suit of absolutely impregnable well-being in which nothing bad could ever happen to you. It is simply a vibrational impossibility for bad to happen to you in that high frequency. It can't be. But aside from the big, awful things that we ward off by living in our higher frequencies, there are all those neat little things that start to happen, like the bypassing of my precious trees. Or, for instance, if you have moles underground, they'll only come up where no one can see them, or not at all. But never in your front yard. And the squirrels will go after someone else's bird food, not yours. Your house may have termites, but they'll soon move on. And loose dogs may poop in your neighbor's yard, but not in yours. Your friends may get caught in a snowstorm, but you'll get home safely. Or if the flu bug is walloping everybody, it won't touch you. And you'll always, always miss the plane that crashes. All this and ever so much more simply from being wrapped in your own feel-good energy, the frequency that guarantees our well-being. But now, okay, every time I speak to a group about flowing energy, questions about world affairs and all the awful stuff that's going on or has gone on always seems to surface. So let's take a quick look at some of the most common questions to see if we can reach a once-and-for-all understanding that from the beginning of time, every experience in our life has been attracted through individual and or group energy flow. For instance, rape. One person is thinking fearfully about what they don't want. Somewhere else, another person is vibrating on the same negative frequency, but with hostility rather than fear. The second person thinks about what he believes will appease his rage and fill his emptiness. So one person is vibrating fear, the other is vibrating inner fury. By their own matching frequencies, they become co-creators to an ugly event. If you don't give your attention to the things you do not want, they cannot become a part of your experience because they will not be included in your vibrations. You can only attract the rapist or the murderer or the robber by thinking emotionally about being that victim or by vibrating with other negative emotions that just happen to match the attacker's frequency. Your every emotion creates the experiences of your life.